Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of
Cool Down.
Are you in your living area? What's happened to your office, Boots?
Can I just say this, Silo? Can I just say this? You can see Arsenal doing well because he's the only one on form here. He's coming in saying that the cool. I mean, you just bummed that on he's like Houdini at Man United. I don't know what's going on there.
No, I'm bummed that El Sakiko on the weekend resulted in Nuno going, because obviously whoever lost the game was getting the sack, and obviously Nuno got the sack. So El Sakiko was real.
And they took the best available coach.
Exactly, they took the best available coach.
That was the unexpected part, I must be honest.
Which is madness.
Yeah, I would not have seen that coming.
Acted so quickly, guys, which is impressive. Daniel Levy, you know, is a shrewd businessman. 18-month contract as well, just to show no pay or outs type of thing. Trying to save himself, you know what I mean? I think there's obviously monies that he's had to pay to Nuno. And, Mourinho's monies didn't... were dependent on positioning and whatever. But yeah.
But the Nuno thing, had they stuck with him and he didn't finish in the top four, they could have fired him and he wouldn't have been compensated. I think now that they fired him, they've had to pay him £5 million. But then again, now we're going to be getting into that. But for everyone watching us, we do have Wonga Denga in the top left-hand side. Or left-hand side of my screen anyway, and he's pretty happy because he's an Arsenal guy. Then we've got, and they're doing all right now. We're going to be asking the question, you know, are Arsenal trusting the process? It seems to be paying off for them. Is it being paid off? We've obviously got Celo super disappointed that Ole seems to be a mastermind of escaping. And obviously, not one, but two. It's a two-for-one sort of special. Gets the manager sacked and then gets the replacements lined up for him to get another job. So well played there, Ole. And then obviously, Moutinho. A lot happened from your side. So we've got a lot to talk about this evening.
Indeed.
Yeah, we've got lots.
It's been a few days.
Yeah, it's been good.
Don't worry, Matt. Don't worry, Matt. Good times are coming back to Tottenham Stadium.
Well, I mean... Yeah,
not without sacrifice.
Yeah, it's been... I mean, look, if you told me a few days ago I'd be sitting here chatting to you lot, having Spurs having just announced Conte, I would not have believed you. Even yesterday, I was talking to a lot of people about it, and I was like, look, I'll believe it when it's real and it's there. And then I don't even think he believed it. Did you see that picture of him holding the Spurs shirt? Like, he didn't expect to be holding that.
What's this?
What have I just done? But it's potentially very, very exciting development. Obviously officially announced today. Rumors were flying from Monday, when the announcement was made about Nuno. When they first announced Conte as the leading, I think obviously after the last managerial search, I certainly wasn't expecting to be this quick. I think to a degree, Daniel Levy has been feeling the reputational hit. You know, he was always this wheeler dealer, always seen as a very shrewd businessman, always kind of pulling rabbits out of hats and stuff. And then you look at the managerial search, you look at some of our business dealings since basically everything that's happened since Poch left. I think there were people asking question marks about Levy, and I think he definitely wanted this to go smoothly and well. Paratici obviously did his job. They've got that existing relationship from their time at Juventus together, him and Conte. So from what I understand, they were very close to a deal in the summer. And the things that stopped them from getting it over the line were the things that got ironed out very quickly now. So the four or five signings that he said he wants, I don't know whether all of those are in January or if it's over January and the summer. But obviously he wants quite a lot of control with regards to recruitment and squad development, which had been a sticky point. Who knows why you wouldn't want to give someone like Conte control of your squad anyway. He's a proven winner. He's got a lot of class. Proven winner in the Premier League as well. So, I've read some stuff people saying he might not be a great long-term option, or, you know, he's maybe not quite as world-class as someone like Pep or Klopp. To be honest, he's far better than I thought we would have gotten. So, I'm very, very pleased to have Conte in. I am sad for Nuno. I did like him. I've spoken on with you lot about it, but I really liked him. I think he was just a really nice guy. Very down to earth, very clear about what he expects from the squad from a kind of togetherness and relationship perspective. And it is a shame that a nice guy like him loses out. That said, it was very clear this weekend that tactically...
What's happening with... What, are you okay there, Boots?
I have no idea what Wonga's doing.
Yeah, but it didn't get off. I mean,
you're still here, so it's even your off internet's not bad, mate.
Yeah. But I think the interesting thing about Nuno, Matt, is that when you compare him to, or compare his first couple of games in comparison to Pochettino, he's actually got the better record, I think, by 1 or 2 points. The difference being the stats behind it. And obviously, in terms of the expected goal or shot to goal ratio has been very poor, the amount of things going forward. So it was interesting that they ended up going with a, you could argue, a downgraded version of a Mourinho. Oh. And you could also argue one of the reasons Mourinho left in the first place was because he didn't have control over the squad that he wanted. You know, there were players that he was trying to get out, and I think Daniel Levy sees the player as an asset, and you don't mess with these assets. You know, you don't mess with any of these guys' assets. And I think maybe that's the thing. And Conte, could we not argue that Conte is what Mourinho was a couple of years ago, going to a club saying, cool, I can manage. I need this, 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 this.
There's a proven track record that Conte does have. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, he's won league titles at every club he's been at. Obviously, the first couple of years he was at smaller clubs when he started managing at the age of 37, but he got to Juve at the age of 41, and he won 3 Serie A titles in a row, convincingly so, with your... with Arturo Vidal's and your Pogba's in the midfield. And then he came to Chelsea, where Pep was the manager of City, and he broke that up and he got the Premier League title. So I think we need definitely to give his dues. He's won a Premier League, or he's won a league title more recently than Jose Mourinho has. Has fallen by the wayside a bit, if we're being brutally honest. But Conte is still, like, you know, one of the, I would say, top 5 managers definitely in Europe because of what he's done. He won Serie A with Inter Milan. You know what I mean? I think you know after Juve's dominance, he broke Juve's dominance in Serie A. You know, we might say that Juve was on the decline, but still, at the end of the day, Sarri won Serie A with Juve. You know what I mean? So that shows that Juve's 10-year dominance of Serie A was broken by Conte. So we need to give his dues and his respects that he's actually a formidable manager. It's an interesting marriage with Tottenham, because if we're all being honest, guys, Spurs haven't won a Premier League since, you know, we could combine my age and Matt's age, and we still probably won't get to win
Spurs won a title.
You know, might you know, we need to bring in
5,000 games.
Over 70 years. It's over 70 years. It's over 70 years since they won a league title. So
no, it's not that.
Business, 60 something, right? 60 something years.
Yeah, it's 61 years since.
61 years.
First one is 61.
Okay, yeah, 61 years. 61 years since they won a title, which is long ago, guys. Very long ago.
It is.
Chelsea took 50 years to win a league title. So let's see what happens. But I think you need to back your manager. If you back your manager, you guys can dream in 3 years' time, maybe.
Yeah. Look, I think you know the classic mistake is to get ahead of ourselves. Conte's a proven manager. We're not a proven side. So he will come there with class. He'll come there with a clear direction in mind. We certainly don't have the squad that should win the Premier League. I think we've got a squad that could compete for top four, in a very competitive top four. No guarantees, but I think if he does get if we back him, like we should have backed Poch, to be honest, which we didn't do, then he could do really well. I think I'm hopeful. That the change will be interesting, and I think, you know, the secretly funny bit about it is that obviously Ole looks safer now than he's really looked for quite a while, because Conte was kind of touted as the potential replacement, and now it's sort of like, who are they going to turn to if they do get rid of him? Plus, we know the way United works. He's had a solid win against a so-called top four competitor, so he's safe for at least 2 more games now. And then we're going to start getting into the Christmas season and stuff, and, you know, they're not going to change in the middle of December. So he's probably going to be around until January, February. January, he'll be backed to do some recruitment. So, I mean, I'm telling you, Ole's going to dance on all our graves. He's never going anywhere.
No, definitely. Definitely. I think, you know, guys, that guy's got so many lives. You know what I mean? I think the indecision within the board helped him out. You know what I mean? Because there were people who had reservations about Conte. And there were people who were backing Conte. You know what I mean? So, and also our board doesn't like to deal with managers that have a voice. You know what I mean? Ole is a very soft-spoken person. Doesn't speak out against the board. Doesn't speak out against getting certain players. He will say, for instance, you know, we want a couple more players in the transfer market. But you'll never say that I wanted X, Y, and Z, and I didn't get them. Or you'll say, I'm happy with my squad. You know, we'll see what we can do still in the transfer window. Well, we can get one or two more players, but we'll see. But I'm happy with my squad. You know, whereas someone will say, I want a centre-back or I want a striker. You know, those guys say it, you know, but then they put pressure on
the
board.
But he got it. He did also get it, though, as much as he was soft-spoken. I mean, he's not using them, but he got Sancho, he got Varane. Got Ronaldo. I mean, any other manager, they'd happily swap their transfer, except maybe Chelsea. I think there's a few managers who would swap their summer transfer dealings with Ole. The fact that he hasn't utilised them, I mean, he's got Donny van der Beek, who is still, let's not forget, a professional footballer. You know, there's. I think that, you know, for all the talk of him being a yes man, he's probably the most backed United manager for a good, probably since Moyes.
No, definitely, he's been backed. You know, I think, but also, you know, the previous.
Hang on. Just shout out to Pums, is with us, Achilles with us, and Jason with us. Obviously, we've got some interesting opposing views here this evening. Selo, you can continue with what we're saying here. I know the whole Ollie thing, more lives than a cat. I love that comment by Akil. But at the end of the day, there's a couple of things to look at. Ollie's going to go on, like Matt said, he's going to go on. There's going to be turbulence. I wonder if they get a hiding against Man City, how much that will change things. Because they've come out saying, you know, the week before was the hardest week they've had as a club, and now they've pulled together. But I think the other thing that we need to consider here, just bringing it back to the Spurs conversation before we move on from all of this, the Conte scenario, it is a short-term contract. He's asked for these players, realistically for the value of money and the players that he wants to get. What is the turnaround time should we expect from a manager like this? We know realistically it was only ever going to last two seasons. Even if he took a Man United job, Settle's spoken about this in the past. He's going to come in, it's going to be 2 good years, possibly win something, and he would leave. At Spurs right now, if he gets the players that he wants, and again, this is very, like, what kind of players is realistically going to get for good value for money? That's the other thing that we've got to ask here. But he gets the players. There's no ways he rejuvenates the squad, in my opinion, or does he?
I think he will, if he does it, I think the only question will he be able to win something, you know, with them. I think he will do well with them, regardless. I mean, especially, I mean, the way he works.
18
like
months,
said,
yeah?
At Inter Milan, you remember he did it in, first year he went second, the next year he won. And I mean, if you looked at what he was, I mean, it's not easy for a team to continue what they were doing. The year before, but as soon as if you look at Inter Milan's progress, the second year they hit the track running, and they went on to win the league. And I think this one, it's with this one, the danger. I hear you, but he changed a lot of players. He bought the right players as well. He looked at it. You can see that whatever they did, they were very smart in the players that they bought. And I think come this time at Tottenham, they're going to do the same thing. We'll have to just wait until the transfers. Because I hear people talking about Conte's next games, him making it must win. But I think the first thing Conte's going to do when he gets out there and speaks for those people is going to say that, I mean, these guys mustn't. He's going to definitely put down the expectations because people are expecting to win, I mean, the next few games.
Exactly.
I don't think it's going to happen like that.
But this is what I'm saying. It's not going to be different to Mourinho. But the difference now is everyone's going to say, you know, his recent track record, so they're going to listen to him, and he's going to tell Daniel Levy, because now Levy is pretty much, he's got him by the balls, Conte. So if Conte is going to say he doesn't want Dele Alli, he doesn't want Ndombele, what's Daniel Levy going to say?
Listen.
He's going to say, well, he's going to have to get rid of him.
Yeah, I think I was in shoes.
Yeah, look, I think the squad has been needing a bit of a shake-up. You know, you look at some of the performances. I don't think it's necessarily to the extent of getting rid of people. I think there's a case of we need to rejig a system that takes advantage of the players we've got. Yeah. Players like Dele Alli, players like, to a certain extent, even Lucas Moura isn't being utilised in a way that was his, that's most effective. I'd really like to see Harry Winks get more game time. I think he's a really important midfielder for us when he's doing that connection work between the shield and the front three. And I think in that sense, I think it'll be more exciting to watch Spurs. I think we've got it. We haven't had a shot on target for something like 2.5 hours of football, which is
that's a bit of a shocker, man. But I think
for a side like Spurs, that's not good. We've always played on the front foot to our detriment. Don't get me wrong. We don't. It's not like we're tight at the back. But you expect to watch us go for goals. And I think if we can just enjoy watching the football again, that would be great. The talk about, I think Jason mentioned it, there's people saying potentially top four contenders, potentially with a decent cup run. I think that makes a lot of sense as an ambition. It's more competitive than it was. Bear in mind, Newcastle, obviously our chances now, because Newcastle are going to get relegated. Then next season, they'll be winning the championship. And then the season after that, we've got to do it now. We've got to take advantage now.
If they get Mr. Good Evening, then their fortunes will change.
That. But he's never played in the championship before. I don't know if he's ready for that.
Have you seen his record?
Have you seen his record?
He's only lost four games a season. He's just drawn everything else.
No, are you sure? Go look at that record. Anyways, it's if I watch them, bro, they play well. They attack a lot. It's very entertaining to the eye. But they're not getting results. They're not getting results. The results that they should take. Now you're going to get a Newcastle team, and you can't. He has not solved that problem. He's not even close to solving that problem. Now you want to take him to Newcastle. It's literally running away from a problem there. He's going to leave it for someone else.
Like I said,
in big trouble.
But I mean, also, I mean, yeah, like Jason mentioned,
in the La Liga.
He's going there because he's got business.
When he leaves Newcastle, he'll go back there and say the same thing.
I don't know, Matt. What do you think about Victor Moses? Because DeVos saying he's incoming for Spurs.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those memes bouncing around. Look, I don't think we're not in a position where we're going to be able to buy whatever we want. It's even if we had the Newcastle type money, we've got in the same way as Newcastle have the problem. Newcastle has loads of money, but they're going to find it very difficult to attract footballers this season. Spurs are in a similar situation. We can't guarantee Champions League football. We're certainly by no means, you know, depending how things go between now and January, we might be able to make the case that we're having a strong run for top four, but in all likelihood, that's still going to be very much up in the air. So it'd be nice. I think we do need a bit of strengthening, probably in the midfield more than anywhere else. But the reality is he'll come in with a particular plan. I think also he'll spend a bit of time getting to know the squad. I think there's players there that haven't had a chance to really shine. Probably I still think there's more to see from Ndombele. I really would like to see him get a run.
Telling you now, Conte's going to come in there and that player's out.
I think we need to also not be. You don't want to judge a player just because you say he won't work well under Conte. You know what I mean? I think you need to think about players that Conte
is ruthless.
You're putting that out into
Claudio,
the universe.
But Claudio, yes, he is ruthless, right? Claudio, he is ruthless, right? But you also need to look at some of the players that Conte has worked with, right? Where maybe people said that, you know, people said something about Lukaku, that Lukaku was, he put Lukaku right. You know, he made Lukaku eat certain foods, you know what I mean? Because he could see that Lukaku has got the potential. But he made Lukaku eat certain foods to help him. And get him in the right shape and use him effectively. So Ndombele's got the talent and the skill, right? Maybe you just need a manager just to guide him in the right direction. So we must not just be dismissive of players and say that.
I want to say this. I'm not just being dismissive on the fact that a new manager is coming in. I'm looking at the pattern that's occurred since he's signed for the club. And also, every time it's gotten rocky for him, it seems like his scapegoat is the chairman. And he has the conversation with the chairman. So regardless of whether or not he's performing on the field, if it doesn't go well and the manager's not happy with him, a lot of the time the chairman's gone, well, hang on, I've spent a lot of money on this guy. So manager, find a way to make this work. And that's, I think, where the odds is, in my opinion, in the past, and from what I've seen. And Matt, maybe you can elaborate from this perspective.
He played well under Jose Mourinho, didn't he, Matt?
Not consistent. Mm.
Yeah, he wasn't consistent.
But I'm saying we saw him doing well under Mourinho. Yes, let's say he played 30 games and he gave us 20, 7 out of 10s, and then gave 3, 4 out of 10s. You know what I mean? But he played well, yeah. I saw his quality. Yeah. People were waxing lyrical about him and saying that this guy needs to be getting more game time. You know, if people are waxing lyrical about a player, that means he's doing something right in the games that he is being afforded an opportunity. So I think that, yeah. Claudio, maybe you are being a bit unfair on him. And I think
you make it seem like I've got a personal dig on this guy. I've got no personal dig.
But you just flat out said that you should have just said it would be interesting to see how Ndombele does under a Conte.
No,
you
said Conte won't say that because I'm looking at how the manager's dealt with players in the past, and if
how
the same thing
has he dealt with players
in
the past?
If the same thing occurs, that's the pattern that's going to happen.
How has he dealt with players in the past? How did he deal with Pogba then? Why was Pogba doing so well under him at Juventus?
He's flat out come out. Did you see that interview you had with Thierry Henry a while back? It's already when he was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
When he said, if a player doesn't listen to him, he'd rather have a dead player.
Yes.
That's the statement. That's the sentiment. That's how he managed.
How did Pogba play so well under him?
Yeah, I think that the thing with Ndombele is...
I'm asking you a question, because you make it seem like...
I'll wait.
We'll go ahead there. Because Pogba played. How long did he play so well under him? How long?
Wasn't Pogba top 10 Ballon d'Or nominee when Juve lost the final in the...
Italy is different.
No, but I'm asking you a question.
Italy, you got freedom. You can do things. The teams are sitting deeper. This is a different scenario. You could even argue it would be better in Italy. Because of the tempo of the game.
I think Ndombele is one of our most talented players. He's shown it. There's only been flashes of it. And I think a big part of it is that for the most of the time that he's been at Spurs, we haven't played a system that's played to his strengths. We've always played a very defensive midfield for most of his time there. Yeah. You saw during the last season when Ryan Mason was in charge, there was a few games where he was playing a more attacking midfield. He threw Ndombele on, and I was talking on here about what a difference he makes. He's got those little flashes of genius. He sees a pass that no one can do. I think his fitness has been a little bit off for the last year or so. That's improved last few games. And I think finding a system where he can be a more attacking force in the midfield. Similar kind of situation, opportunity for someone like Dele Alli, who really is being asked to either play as a second striker or as a defensive midfielder most of the time under Mourinho and subsequently under Nuno. I think if we can start playing some more sort of attacking mid style of a game, players like Ndombele, players like Dele Alli are going to kind of find more space. And hopefully they'll both players like that will be able to take the opportunity and really make a difference. If Spurs can kind of, they've got a squad that's pretty decent. That's not a controversial thing to say. We're not the league winning squad, but we've got a squad that should really be knocking on the door for top four. There's a lot of players in Spurs squad that teams across the top six would gladly take onto their books. Yeah. If we get a manager who can find a system that works, and I have read a lot about this 3-5-2 or 3-4-3 system that Conte favours that could potentially really work well for Spurs. I agree with that. I think that could really work nicely. It will take a bit of getting used to because we haven't played three at the back very often. And when we have, we did it a couple of times last season. Earlier this season, it looked a bit shambolic because players obviously weren't used to it. But if they could get their heads around that, it could really make a difference. And I do look forward to seeing some players get a better run. I want to see Harry Winks back in the squad. I think he's a really impressive. His range of passing is probably the best I've seen out of the Spurs Academy in ages. And it'd be nice if Harry Kane could find some form, maybe start scoring some goals and not looking like such a sad sack running around the field. But other than that, I think there's nothing, as much as I feel bad for having Nuno got the sack just because he seems like a really nice guy. I think in footballing terms, this is a massive upgrade. It's up to the squad to take advantage. Individual players will lose out. That's always what happens. I think players like Oliver Skip potentially might lose.
Matt, like the issue from my perspective, and again, I might say something, and Silva, please contradict me if you think I'm being if I'm being inflammatory with this sort of statement. But the issue with the club is the man has been pulling triggers left, right, and centre. And to this, in this scenario, you know, it seems on paper it's the right decision, but he got it wrong in the first place bringing Nuno in because he couldn't get the deal across the line because of whatever prejudice or bias he had in the first place. And this is the issue with the club. He's hanging 100%. On to the squad that made it to the 2019 Champions League Cup final. These are four world beaters. Difference is he hasn't really upgraded or improved it in any shape or form, and now he's hanging on to an asset. We can all point that is one of the biggest downfalls to the manager, this new manager. There's no way you shake that off if you don't have the personality. So that manager, well, you know, nice guy, didn't have the personality to come in and tell Kane, oh, he's like, yes, I'm so happy to have Kane. Kane, please play well. Please. Please, Kane.
But also, Kane will... we must also respect Nuno, but honestly, I feel that Kane will want to give a bit more for a Conte because Conte has won the Premier League. That in the player's psyche does play a part in saying, listen, this guy has won X amount of Serie A titles. He's won the Premier League with Chelsea. You know, he's done well in winning league titles. Yes, his Champions League performance hasn't been really great, but he's actually done that. You know what I mean? So here's a manager who can maybe help me this season to get to my best again. World Cup is coming up next year, and let me just give it my all and see what happens at the end of the season. You know, Spurs could be an FA Cup winner and number 5 in the league or number 4 in the league. Something, you know, something can happen. You know, with maybe a new manager just to galvanize them and also put past the other stuff that's happened.
Yeah. I think. You know, with regards to Levy point, I think this might be the moment where Paratici as director of football kind of has taken over properly, because it was clear that it was still very much him and Levy side by side doing the negotiations during the summer. We ended up with Nuno. It seems from all the reports that it was very much Paratici who got this deal over the line, got Conte in, and hopefully it's a sign that maybe Levy's going to start doing what he does best, which is kind of running the business side and leaving some of those more footballing decisions to his director of football. And I think it is exciting. It's potentially great news. It's, you know, remain to be seen. He's got a very easy run of fixtures coming in. I think out of our next 6 games, the toughest one we've got is probably Everton, who themselves are in a bit of a weird, sticky situation in terms of form. So I think it's a good run for him to kind of maybe instill some changes. And I saw today that our Europa Conference game on Thursday is actually sold out as a result of it. Whether or not that's directly because Conte did it, maybe he bought all the tickets himself to try and prove a point. I don't know. But it's going to be sold out against Vitesse. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. And I think, let's see what happens. I'm certainly in a better mood than I thought I'd be after having lost 3-0 to United.
Yeah, there was no hangover, and I think it was a swift. That's one thing that was done well. It was swift and
very
it was
good
quick
business.
As in. Okay, but I suppose the biggest question out of this whole sort of conversational topic change is that when Wenger's looking at it as an Arsenal fan, how do you feel? How do you feel having Conte sitting in the Spurs hot seat?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not what I wanted.
I love the honesty.
Oh no!
Oh, no, he froze. No, he froze. On, he froze as you were saying. That's not what I wanted. Ah,
and look
damn.
At the face. Look at the face. I can see. Okay, continue, Wenger. Continue. What's going on there?
Yeah.
What do you say?
No. So, of course, I mean, you do really want that with your rivals, but I still think they'll have to do a lot. And I mean, when I've looked at Conte's teams, he's brought in players before anything really starts to happen, and I think Spurs will need to do the same. I think he's going to really try and manage, really, really manage what he has until he gets to the transfer window. And I think, obviously, him signing the deal, he's probably been guaranteed that he'll be able to do what he wants to do in that transfer window. So that's the only thing that worries me. I'll have to see then what happens. It's not far away. But yeah, I'll have to wait and see till then.
I love how, like, Wenger's got these moments. Like, when he's talking about Arsenal, he sounds like a madman. When he's talking about, like, someone else or another club, he sounds very pragmatic and, like, knows exactly what he's talking about. But just for everyone who's watching in the comments or watching us live, just drop in the comments where you think Spurs will land up with Conte now taking over at the end of the season and if you think that there's a chance for them to win a trophy. Wenger, it is your time now. It's your time. Leicester, I mean, you got the results. You beat Brendan Rodgers. Everyone talks so much. There's so much noise around Brendan Rodgers, but Arteta did a number over Leicester.
Yeah, and Ramsdale. You know, very good performance
Ramsdale. This guy couldn't acknowledge Ramsdale in the Discord channel. I asked him one question. What, you don't make mention of the goalkeeper who made one of the saves of the season. No mention. You just say, trust the process. I'm like, this guy has been saying Leno is the best, but your Ramsdale makes a great save. Zero. Nothing.
We got two good keepers in our team.
You've got one good keeper.
Well done, Ramsdale. Wow.
No, listen. No, Ramsdale had a good game. He did have a good game.
Is it because he reminds you of Pickford in some shape or form? Not what it is.
No. Pickford is loose, man. He's a loose cannon. He was. Look, Ramsdale, he performed well. Honestly, he did. Obviously, everyone saw that. The saves he pulled off kept us in the game. And just like I told Musa as well, I said, you want your keepers to be doing that in certain matches. And again, we kept a clean sheet. Even last week, I remember Claudio we were speaking on Tuesday, you were doubting Arsenal's performance, and I told you that we'd definitely beat Leicester come the week. And there we got the result. Because Leicester's always struggled against Arsenal. I wasn't even just looking at Arsenal in general, but just their current form, what we've been doing. I knew Leicester would definitely struggle against us.
Wonga, I don't know if you're going to want to hear this. And I mean, you're talking very, I'm enjoying this and I'm going to let you continue here, but Akil's saying Ramsdale, and I'm asking Selo and Matthew if they share the sentiment. Signing of the season so far.
I think so, guys, because I'll be one person who was doubting the signing of Ramsdale for Arsenal. If you go back to who you think is a bad signing or something like that, I thought he was a bad signing at £28 million. Walker likes Ramsdale like Ole likes Van de Beek. That's true, man.
Yeah.
That's true. Walker likes Ramsdale like Ole likes Van de Beek. I think that's true. You know what I mean? Walker can't give credit to the man, but I think he's definitely been one of the top signings this season, guys. I think definitely he should be pushing Pickford for the number one spot for England now.
This result against Leicester, look at it what it is. It's arguably the biggest result of what Arsenal have had this season. You know, they beat a very lackluster Spurs. But if you think about this result, this could potentially be the starting point of a huge run of form. This is where Arsenal potentially put their stamp on a top four spot. Yep. It would not have been as convincing. Potentially, they might not even have won it without Ramsdale there. And in that regard, you know, it's been said before, great keepers will win you leagues and stuff. And Liverpool have needed to change their keeper to make a difference. Chelsea have shown the difference a good keeper means. You know, over the years, United have gone through bad patches where they've had bad keepers and then they've found the right one and it makes such a huge difference. What Arsenal have there, whether or not it lasts season after season, this season, Ramsdale has been the absolute difference for you guys. And I think in that regard, you got him cheap.
Guys, listen. I will not, like, for me, Leno has been decent. And the thing is, listen, I'll just listen to everything I have to say first. Leno's been decent. We've had a poor defense. Okay. Ramsdale, yes. And he's put on performance. Especially this match, it's purely his performance. That could have been like 4 or 5 goals in there, in that performance. I would give it the season, you know, I mean, even close towards the end of the season to look at his whole performance. It is a good run of form that he's on. But knowing the past keepers we've had, Almunia also had a stint where, I mean, like a part in his career where he was also a good keeper. He was also good for a point in time.
No. Never for you lot.
He dropped. No. Almunia, yes, he did. He did.
No, he did.
Almunia. Like this. Nah. Not like
Almunia,
this.
Listen, Almunia. Chesney also had a time. Then he dropped.
Chesney's better than Almunia. At least you can say Chesney. I can understand you saying Chesney had good moments.
But Chesney is crazy, bro.
No, but at least he had good moments.
Almunia started Arsenal. I'm not saying he was a good, like, savage keeper. No, he was decent in goals. And then he dropped.
But I think what Akil says there is very important, bro. I saw Ramsdale hit a Itumeleng Khune type pass where he literally hit the ball straight from the hand. You know, like how Itumeleng Khune does it, straight to Aubameyang. I had never seen that before. And for me, that's quite impressive because it can set up an attack where your goalkeeper can pass from out of the hand with their feet towards the halfway line and eliminate. So I think he eliminated like three or four players in just with that touch against Leicester, which is something that probably he does that what's this guy's name can't do. Leno, sorry, I even forgot the guy he's competing against.
And you know what the other thing is, and I do want to read again. Akil also
mentioned, listen to this. What Devilia says.
Never thought Almenia would be used as a positive benchmark for goalkeeping standards. I think that's a fair point there. Thank you.
Do you think that works? Do you think when they get to the Arsenal training ground, there's a photo of Almunia and all the goalkeepers are like, be like him, bro?
That's the man.
That's the one.
I think that's probably been the issue with Arsenal.
Ramsdale definitely on the floor much better than Leno, distribution wise, not even just the what you'd call it, the volleys. It's also off the floor as well. Gets the ball to the players quickly. I think that's what's good about that.
It does.
The only thing I did have a question about was his capability of obviously one-on-one. And that this weekend, be honest with you, he stood up to the task, more than stood up to it.
Wow.
And I think for me, the
positive
And I've always said this to the Arsenal team now, is again, we've changed a few things. We're conceding less goals. The strikers are Lacazette and the Aubameyang. There's a different type of energy to them. Something I've always, definitely past 2-3 years, I've always questioned about this Arsenal squad. And it's looking positive now. And I mean, it's Smith Rowe's always had it. Saka has always had it. Martinelli's always had it. The only question I had was that Shaka, Chambers. I mean, when Chambers came in the squad this year, that just gave me, I was very worried.
Let me guess as well. Why is Arsenal winning? Because Shaka's not starting.
Yeah, but look, that's not,
a, I don't think people, that's completely inaccurate, to be fair.
But look at Lukonga as well. I think he's also been very good in this team. And the only thing, like, people are asking now, do you trust the process? Shaka's been starting week in, week out for Arsenal. Now, when he comes back from injury, the question is, does he get back into the squad immediately based on, I mean, Arteta's feelings for him? Because the way the team's playing now, I wouldn't see why Shaka wouldn't be on the bench and become a start. I wouldn't understand it, because the guy's definitely proved himself. If you're saying, I mean, the same thing like Ramsdale. Ramsdale's there. Leno's a good keeper, but based performances, I mean, on the previous performances, who do you start now?
Yeah, I mean, if he does, you're right. If he goes and brings Shaka straight back, it's like he doesn't even trust the process.
Yeah,
the process is showing him that Lukonga should be starting.
It's the same thing that you see, like, what's his name? What that same interview like Conte said? He's like, look, if a player's not going to give me what I want, you know, what did he say? He said he's going to take them out. You know, it's that decision.
He'll rather kill them than play them, essentially.
Yes.
Can't see Arteta killing someone, though. I don't think he does jobs where he has to get blood on his body.
What he mentioned to me.
His Lego hair.
Maybe by poisoning them, I don't know.
But what he mentioned for me that was important, what he said, that if you pretend a problem is not there, you're going to lose the changing room. That was the most important thing I said there. If you pretend the problem is not there, and it's like maybe some things that might be happening at Man United, you'll lose that changing room. And the same thing at Arsenal. I don't know if it happened at Arsenal, but now you've got a shock. You've got Lukonga starting. I don't know how the atmosphere is there at Arsenal, but Lukonga's performed well for me. I mean, the whole team together. I think we found close to finding our best 11. And then now Shaka comes back in and he gets in the squad like that. I'll have questions. I don't know about the players themselves, but I'll have questions for sure.
Okay. No, I don't think, but Lukonga is still a young man. He's still 21 years old. I think what does happen is that you can't expect him to start every single game, but I guess, I guess also you'll start him most, like a fair share of games, you know, 60-70% of games. And Shaka can start the other 30-40%, depending on obviously as well what do you decide for the makeup. You know, are you doing a 4-3-3? Are you doing a 4-2-3-1? Is Partey injured? Is Partey suspended? Is Lukonga injured? Is Lukonga suspended? Then you can decide. You know, there's still Elneny as well. Elneny's a workhorse. He's still got good legs on him. So I guess you just have to rotate and find your way around it. You know, I think, yes, it's you guys aren't in any European competitions, so you just have to wait for the League Cup and FA Cup to kind of rotate. But I think Arsenal are doing well, man. I think we were laughing at Arsenal after losing to the startup team the first game, you know. But they've come back, played at Leicester, and beaten at Leicester quite, you know, comprehensively and well, you know. And I got beaten by Leicester. You know, it just shows, Exactly, you know, Liverpool could also didn't beat the startup team, you know, but it just shows how poorly my team is if you beat a team that beat before too, you know.
Hey man, your team beat my team 3-0, so.
Guys.
Yeah. A lot of shit teams going around here. That's all I can see. We've got shit teams on the show.
Talk about top four.
Wonga, before we, because we've spoken quite a bit now about Arsenal, we still got other games to cover. Overall, I do want to, we kind of downplayed, we spoke obviously about the Ramsdale situation, Shaka, and obviously the issues of the squad. But I did open up this by saying, you know, he got Arteta in particular, got the result over a man like Rodgers, who many say should be lined up with the Arsenal job and other big clubs. Should we not look at Arteta and actually say maybe we give him a little bit of credit? Or where's everyone's mind at with all of this right now?
Yeah, look, I think for me, I agree with that. We should give him a bit more credit. Yeah. Obviously, now he's proven that. But I just... You see, like the decision with Shaka as well, it was a forced one. You know, the guy's injured. You can't play. If you could, you probably would. But it was a forced decision. The two decisions he made of taking off Chambers and Holding, he's done that. You went and obviously bought the players as well. So that was obviously a plan in that. Did he do it too late? We don't know. But he did make the decision 3 games in. And so yeah, I think we could give him credit on that part as well, because we are playing better, we're conceding less for sure. So something's changed.
Quick fire this, or yes or no, and then Matt too, yes or no?
Yes or no what?
Arteta, should we
give him more credit?
Give him credit. Yes, guys. Yeah, we have to give him credit, guys. He wasn't doing well, and now he's turned things around. He's in the top 8, and they're looking much stronger and defensively resolute. You know, I think Wonga makes makes that claim all the time and says, you know, after losing 5-0 to Man City, we've only conceded 5 goals in 6 games or something like that, you know, which shows that Arsenal have showed up at the back. Ramsdale, together with his back four, have done very well, you know what I mean? But they still should have lost to Palace.
Matt?
Yeah, same for me. Huge. I think, you know, as much as it pains me, he's had how many managers over the last few years could turn around that depth of bad performance, how far they had fallen, and then come back and put themselves into this position. There's still a lot of football to be played. I think Akil made the point about Arsenal traditionally crumbling under pressure, but the fact that he's managed to even put them in this position is huge. I think he does deserve a lot of credit. The process was obviously not as lackluster as we thought, but yeah, so credit to Arteta and Ramsdale too. You know, not a one-man show. Arteta ain't out there saving the show.
Ramsdale taking hints from Leonard Jones, don't forget.
Yeah. This is why Arsenal can't have nice things, Wonga.
I'm saying Leicester is one team who can compete with United in terms of defensive lapses and leaking goals. I don't know what you think about that at all. Okay, gentlemen, the Liverpool-Brighton results.
What the hell?
Quality game.
Huge for Brighton.
Quality game. I think guys, that game just showed Graham Potter's talents, you know, in terms of a manager, in terms of I think he definitely needs to, I've always said it, in terms of they've got a style of play, but I think he can definitely be a top 6 manager in a season or two. So Brighton did very well to get a point. They deserve the point. First half they hit the post with Yves Bissouma. And second half, you know, I was flipping through some games in the first half. You know, I watched a bit of the Palace and City game, and then towards the end I watched the Liverpool and Brighton game. That second half was a good performance from Brighton.
You know, they were saying the nice thing that I saw. Remember when Arsenal played them? Claudio was like, 1-0 to Arsenal. I said, nah, no ways. Now you can see him goes there. If we're Thursday, I'm sure he's gonna say we're gonna put 3. I promise you, Charles, they're going to put 3 or 4. Then come Brighton, come.
Is everyone noticing the change in demeanor? Wonga all of a sudden is outspoken. Hey, we need to put the man back in his cage. When's another Arsenal loss coming? Because I can't wait to challenge the man.
Hey,
again,
but take. Man is happy. Man is happy, man.
Yeah, you gotta enjoy it while you can, you know. It can disappear so fast, mate.
Well, but
fair play to Brighton, though. It's the first time a side has gone 2-2 at Liverpool and not lost since 2016. And great team performance. They really dug it out. I think, like you said, Potter showed his class. I think to a certain extent, Liverpool maybe switched off as well. I think there was an element of maybe thinking the job was done. And maybe in a way this is almost a good thing, give them a bit of a kick up the bum, remind them not to take their foot off the pedal. Remember, Liverpool have been a bit guilty of that in the past. You've spoken about it before, Claudio. There's at times where they go through this, like a run of form where they get a bit complacent, and they usually need a bit of a shock to get back. So maybe this is just that little kind of, you know, just a bump in the road before you actually hit a deer. So that's all right.
Yeah, Henderson and Mane scored for Liverpool, Wanga. But Claudio, I wanted to ask you about Konate's performance. I think this game, I don't want to say he was left exposed, but I found him in positions where he shouldn't have been. And I think that was the false nine strategy that Brighton were using. So he'd be caught in the midfield a bit, right? But that's because now maybe like a Trossard was the false nine and he pulls him and then he leaves Van Dijk exposed alone. There was a couple of times when it happened where I think, you know, he left him exposed. That's when Bissouma hit the post, and other times as well during the game where he was left exposed. What do you think of his performance?
I think spot on to that in terms of saying, you know, he is. I've mentioned this in the game against Man United. His naivety kind of shone through a little bit. He gets sucked into positions because he really wants to perform well, and I think he's not. Obviously, he lacks the experience in terms of being able to read the game. He's very heavily dependent on his physique because he can get around the park. So he's not necessarily thinking ahead. So he'll find himself in a situation and he'll be like, oh, I've got the pace to get out of this. And I think that was the difference in the weekend. This is where he got caught out, with the players around him were one step ahead of him and his pace wasn't good enough. And also, to be fair, he wasn't helped out by the midfield. We had a couple of changes in the midfield. Obviously, him coming in a centre-back next to Van Dijk sometimes is not enough. Van Dijk isn't... he's getting there. He's getting there.
He's not 100%.
And then you've got... I've drummed this. I beat this drum constantly. Fabinho is a huge miss. And when you've got Henderson can do the job. But Henderson is more effective next to Fabinho because he brings the energy. And when he's not bringing the energy, you're super reliant on the other two next to him to do that. And with the Curtis Jones, who's an attacking sort of flair player, you know, he can press, but it's not natural to him. And then you've got Chamberlain, who also wants to be in the sort of further up the pitch. So defending is not natural to him. And I mean, Keita is the right player to be there. But again, the old bones got injured and that also is disruptive. But, you know,
they caught up with him again.
The guy's done at Liverpool. Like, he's a fantastic player and he's had brilliant moments, but he can't finish 90 minutes. It's just impossible. And I think his football age has caught up to him, to be honest. And it's sad because that's the one player I've been saying, like, you know, give him a chance. I mean, look, right now, Liverpool's going to get criticised for the fact that they didn't bring in a player after getting rid of Van Halden. They did that at centre-back, and look how that cost them. Now we've got Fabinho out, we've got Van Halden out, we've got now Keita out. Again, now we've got Elliot, who was meant to fill the void, the youngster who broke the leg.
Yes.
So now all of a sudden, four centre midfielders are out, and why they didn't go sign a player?
When is Thiago coming back?
Thiago should be on the cusp, but I mean, he's been out for a long time.
Does he still play for Liverpool? I keep forgetting
he's there, to be honest. I forget he's there.
So what? 50 thumbs up in the game and no assists.
Hey, bro, the bargain, man. Hey, got him for a bargain now.
We talked about this last season. Remember, Liverpool had an injury crisis last season. They weathered it. They struggled. They weathered it a bit. But what it did do, it dented their ambitions severely. And they're a squad who should be challenging for the title. And they sort of seem potentially going into what happened last season, where they went from a side challenging for the title to a side challenging for top four. And this season may be worse than last season. You can't afford to drop off because Chelsea are going to keep pushing the pace. City are just relentless. Obviously, they drop points this weekend, but they're going to keep going like they always do. So Liverpool can't really afford another wobble. And if they're losing their midfield en masse, and Henderson, and don't get me wrong, I know he's a legend for you guys and he's fantastic. He's not the player he was just 2 years ago. And he could carry the midfield on his own for quite a while. He was that character. All action.
Yeah,
I just don't know that he can do that. He can't really do that anymore. Like you said, without Fabinho by the side, it's it's suddenly a challenge. And I think that's potentially Liverpool are in, and bear in mind they've still got a difficult January, February to navigate. They've got some tough decisions to make January. Do they reinforce up front where they're going to be losing players to the AFCON? Are they going to reinforce the midfield where they're losing players to the treatment room? So they're going to have to dig deep and really find a way through, because this period where their league challenge potentially falls away, and then like last season you're just playing for top four, playing to have another crack at it next season, which probably isn't what Liverpool would have wanted at the moment. And then Arsenal biting at your heels, you know, you don't need that in your life.
And you don't want to
you don't need
yeah,
that.
We'll be there. It's the truth.
Liverpool could battle Congo if you guys don't use him enough.
That's our Arsenal. Who scored? Who scored again? Mane Salah every week, guys. Am I exaggerating? Every week.
Indo Mane. So,
no, but you think either Mane or Salah score?
So let's also and okay, the
Henderson is like Salah. Henderson's like once in a while, like he's gonna score next year again or next 2 years. Could from you, now. Need the goals like
hey Nick, have they announced it? Is it official?
Hey. King of the North is back up and running. Load shedding is done for him, and now the first thing he says is good evening. I like what Akil is saying in terms of Bissouma. Obviously, we know that Bissouma is facing some allegations and so on and so forth. So that was probably his first start since the allegations came about, and he had a great game in that first game in that first half especially. I think let's see what happens with these issues. If he's not guilty, then obviously I think he does have some. He could definitely go to a top six club next season.
Yeah, look, just to bring it back, less off the field, back onto the field from the Brighton sort of Liverpool perspective, I do think it was a combination of two things. You've got a team that are punching above their weight right now. You've got another team that kind of underestimated this sort of team packing a punch that people seem to forget. It was that. I mean, they gave early warning signs, Brighton did, and then Liverpool casually took the lead and they thought, oh, this was going to be another easy one. And Brighton showed real character. So I think, and again, Graham Potter showed improving his worth, which is also why I actually threw his name into the ring for the Spurs job, because ideally, long-term, that's kind of the manager that Spurs would want, attacking sort of football English manager, possibly bringing in younger talent. So that's someone there from that perspective. I think Liverpool, all it is, it's like Matt's already touched on, it's a nice reminder. We do have Atletico coming up in the Champions League. And, you know, maybe that's exactly what we needed, just to go and listen, you can't afford to do that at home against a side like Atletico. So, you know, it's not ideal for the league and the points and giving Chelsea the edge. Psychologically, it is a bit of a blow because you don't want to be, especially when you've got other players. This is also the testament to the squad and seeing the squad depth. Everyone talks about Liverpool and the squad depth. And it's not just whether or not a player is talented when they come and step into the 11, because these players are talented. It's whether or not they got the mental strength. And I think that's maybe one of the things where you don't want to be losing out on. So, yeah, let's see what happens from that perspective. But again, gents, I know we've touched on United, we've touched on Spurs, but let's unpack the game and as to, like, why it was successful for an Ole and also how he pulled the rabbit out of the hat again. I mean, is this the way forward? Is it the way forward for me?
I think we need to just... There's the match in itself, right? And then there's the part now where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer played now a back five, right? Basically, he played a 5-3-2, right?
Yes, yeah. That's what I was
now, saying. The question around it is, you've signed certain players, you've got certain players on your books. If you're going to continue with this lineup, certain players are not going to be happy, you know? You've got Cavani, Ronaldo, Rashford, Greenwood, Martial, Sancho, and then I'll say six players, right? And if you're going to use those two positions going forward, like a 5-3-2, where are these six players going to play? You know what I mean? I think you need to ask yourself that question as a manager. You could revert to a 3-4-3, where at least you still have the wingers and have a central striker. So if the central striker is Cavani or Ronaldo, then you can do that. But then on the right and the left, you can at least still give the other guys an opportunity. So let's see what happens with that dynamic. But listen, guys, to be honest, Spurs were in shambles. You know, guys, we need to also remember that Man United might have played well, but also the Spurs weren't great. So there's the two together that paired quite nicely. You know, I think if we played like a, you know, a Liverpool or a Chelsea or a Man City or even a West Ham,
or even an Arsenal,
because Arsenal's on form right now. So even an Arsenal would have had more difficulties, you know. But Spurs in that current state that they were on Saturday weren't really much of a challenge. They didn't get a shot on target. David De Gea had his quietest game this season.
Yeah.
You know, he's been man of the match in so many games, even though we concede so many goals, but he's been man of the match. This game he didn't have to do anything, you know. So which was good. Let's see what he does tonight at 10 p.m. In terms of starting that up. I'll be interested to see and how that plays. And you know, man, I think Solskjaer is the luckiest man and luckiest manager in the world, guys. He forever gets another chance, another glimmer of hope. Right now, the big thing is no coaches available that probably will be keen to come in. I don't know what Zidane's thinking is, but let's. At the end of the day, we back Man United. Whoever the manager is, we have to back Man United. We never wish our team to lose. You know.
I mean, you're saying that now. You were.
No, don't forget, guys. Man United must win, but Ole must get sacked. Do you understand what I'm saying? You
know? This weekend, it's the only time I saw Man United fans win and not be happy. Like, there was not. My brother was saying the same thing on his side. He said Man United fans that is also in the group said all the Man United fans are bleak.
it's mixed emotions, guys. This guy was supposed to leave, was supposed to be fired, but he's still in the job. So, what must we do on Saturday? Just do this and not watch the game. You know what I mean? I was at home, you know. I had hoped I would be out in the streets, not to watch the game, guys. I hope I was out in the streets.
It was 3-0.
Just my friends didn't come together for me to be out and about on Saturday, and I end up watching the whole game. And I was happy to see the link up between Bruno, Ronaldo, and Cavani. It was great to see.
Yeah, look, it was a good performance from, like you said, not against a great Spurs. It was weird because I thought the first sort of 15 minutes or so, both sides kind of looked equally crap. Like they sort of both had sort of interesting moments in midfield and then nothing in the final third. And there were periods where Spurs looked the more dominant for about 5 minutes. Not that either side were creating much. In those first 15, 20 minutes, it was very kind of just not impressive all round. And then when United scored, Spurs just completely fell apart. It was like the confidence was gone, and it's happened time and time again this season. I think finally that was probably what did it in for Nuno, was that when we went behind, there was never ever a kind of response. It was just kind of collapse. After the second goal, I actually stopped watching. Spurs were doing nothing. They were really kind of reactive, really slow. The sluggishness in midfield was back. You know, everything that's been going wrong over the season that I was talking about. And I think, if anything, the 3-0 was really more done for United by Spurs than by United. I think the Dier playing Cavani onside for the second goal, he was way out of position. He was, you know, sort of 3 yards behind the rest of the defensive line. And that's, in a normal defensive line, there's no way a player that age should be outrunning the whole Spurs back line. It just wouldn't happen. So I think that's kind of that's a big factor.
Tough times.
But and I think, you know, and like Cello, I'm now in this mixed emotional state because losing 3-0 is never nice. It was a cuck feeling. I did not enjoy it at all. But then, you know, now it's brought about all this change, and it's sort of, there's an opportunity for something good to have come of it, you know. And it's sort of, it's a weird one because if we had somehow won the game, if it had gone the other way and we'd scrambled a dirty 3-0 win, we wouldn't have got rid of Nuno, but we'd be in the same position where we've got kind of lackluster management, not quite pulling it off. And, you know, I see what Cello's saying. It's kind of like you're always going to be happy when you win a game. It's never a horrible thing to keep a clean sheet and score 3 goals. But it just means that the cycle continues at United. It's the same thing again and again and again. He has a bad game. Everyone's like, this is it. He's finally going to go. Then he pulls this one out. Same will happen again. I'm sure they'll do well in Europe tonight and then have a crap one against City. And then, you know, we'll be having this exact same discussion until he eventually, like I said, dances on all of our graves. And you know, it won't even be a good dance. It'll be some weird off-time shuffle of his feet. It's just, the whole thing's going to be disappointing.
Guys, did we look at Mr. Good Evening and what he said about Emery? He was saying that he did some research on Good Evening rumors. The man is very excited, man. I think Nick looks at it, manager differently when he's linked to his club. But when he was linked, when he was at Arsenal, he was like, yo, that guy's rubbish. What a crap manager. But now he's like,
Going from Steve Bruce to being linked to the man, to his point, the guy wasn't a Europa League final. When last
he is Mr. Europa League, don't forget as well, eh?
Mr. Europa League. So that's at least something. And then also he did manage, not really well in my opinion, but he did manage and also points out to one of his flaws, but he was at a club like PSG. So for Nick being linked with a guy like that who possibly does want to go to Newcastle is quite exciting because we know Conte said flat out no. So at least he's getting something there.
And that is saying something because Conte said yes to Spurs. So
yeah, exactly.
Newcastle got a long way to go. Money don't get
you can't get you everything. Yeah, can't get you. Hunter. Yeah, true.
You can't even have the same reputation as Spurs. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of work to still do.
Gents, I want to talk about this game briefly before we end the show. It's the Aston Villa West Ham result. Claudio.
4-1, brother.
Is it 4-1?
Yeah, 4-1. Only one can score a goal.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Edmund,
why
aren't you doing this properly then? You've got this right in front of you. You're going to wait for it to come up and then say it's poorly done? This man.
Oh, guys.
Yes, carry on. Sorry, guys.
Anyway. the only thing I want to highlight here, though, is from a West Ham perspective, David Moyes getting the results, doing well. Realistically, I mean, on paper anyway, they are in a shout for a top four finish.
Yeah, just like last season.
Just like last season. I mean, should he not be like being linked with a return back to Old Trafford?
If he hadn't had the Man United job, he'd be getting touted for the Man United job now.
Exactly.
If he hadn't already had it, everyone would be saying he should be at United. We love us a Scottish manager. He should be up there. What's he doing at West Ham? But now because they've already had that, they already ordered that pizza. They did not like the topping. They're like, no. We're going to a European now. We want.
No, man, guys.
We want Zidane or no one.
No, Ishman, it's. Hey, yeah, hey, guys. Pum's always asked this question, bruh. Claudio, please answer, man. He's always asked this question.
West Ham rich?
Where is West Ham rich?
Oh, does he mean the dude? I thought he was asking like rich as in a financial state.
He's like, where's West Ham rich? And Claudio, he's asked this for the second time.
He's been transferred.
A question. Where is West Ham rich?
You've got to ask Nick, because Nick was the scout for Rich. Or was Rich a scout, right? No?
I think the correct term is agent.
Agent?
Agent.
Well, he was a scout for Goal Lounge and then acted as an agent. So, yeah. I don't know if he can be both.
But I've been seeing he's been waxing lyrical about his team. He's happy. They're doing well in Europa League, number one in their group, 3 out of 3. So they're doing very well. Declan Rice is doing well. They play quite well. Benrahma, Fornals, Bowen, all of them are jamming. Probably something he would say. He would use the word jamming. I don't use that word, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's a good word, you know.
I mean, look, Cecil, you weren't the only one partying this weekend with another squad member. So just in case everyone missed it, Cecil was out with Musa on the weekend. Am I right there, Cecil?
Yes, I was out with Musa and one of our viewers, Marcus. So I was with Marcus and
Musa. Why is he not watching the show anymore? Did you ask him that question?
I didn't ask him. So I was with him. Bumped into some old mates that I used to play with. I bumped into Grant as well, Claudio. After they won the MTN8 final, and who else did I see? Yeah,
Kaiso. Did you get him on the show?
No, I didn't talk to him about the show, man. I was talking about alcohol, man. Come on. We're celebrating his win. You know what I mean? The MTN8 win. But yeah, no. I'll try have a chat with him.
Okay, good. Yeah, so anyway, from my side, Nick and I were at a wedding in Ermelo. It was quite nice. Yeah, we were both at the bar quite often. And I was the MC and Nick took over when I was catching the The thing. What is the thing that you catch?
Crisp.
I don't know what to call that.
Next, the English thing. It's an English
garter.
I thought Matt would
know. Garter. There we go.
Hey, yes, Matt knows these things. Yeah.
I knew the word, but I've never seen this as a hand signal for it. What are you doing with it?
That's
not even how you would take it off.
I caught it like that, boy.
A Muppet.
Anyway, so Nick cracked one or two jokes while that was taking place, and he was quite disappointed that no one laughed at it. But to be fair, I think everyone had two jokes. No one was listening by the time he had said whatever it is that he had said. Yeah, but yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun. Anyway, gentlemen, final thoughts. I know Pums is still touching on the fact that Western are playing some good footy. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to elaborate on the fact that maybe this is finally the time where they are being well run and they aren't swearing at their owners.
No, I think, yeah, no, speak. What's this, Matt? You were saying something?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting season. I think that there's. The competition for top four is stronger than it's been. And you're seeing some kind of underdogs kind of going for it. West Ham, Arsenal, you know, the ones you wouldn't necessarily expect to be challenging for top four. And I do think if I had to put money on it, I think I'd back West Ham more than Arsenal at the moment. Just not because, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but at the same time, they have been here before. And I think West Ham might have a slightly better squad depth than Arsenal. You know, obviously Arsenal have quite a lot of goalkeepers they can turn to. But in other positions, you know, for example, you guys are one injury away from having Xhaka in the centre of midfield.
Again,
West Ham have a bit more depth, they're a bit more sensible, a bit more streetwise.
Reliable.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And we're one away from Chambers and Holding.
So I think from a depth perspective, West Ham edge it. And I think. You know, West Ham, they just, and it annoys me as well, because also I don't love West Ham, but they do look a solid team. And Moyes, I got to be happy for Moyes, because Moyes at Everton, he was always this manager, he did his job, they never really achieved much. Everyone was like, oh, he's a nice enough guy, maybe he could do more at a bigger side. Then he went to United and got horribly embarrassed. And he's come back at West Ham, and he's rebuilt his kind of reputation. He's also changed the way he plays football. The way West Ham plays is very different to the way United played under Moyes. And I think that's really nice to see. And they've got some solid characters in the squad. Look at guys like Declan Rice and that. They're a solid bunch of ballers who really know how to play. And they do deserve to have a good season. Whether or not that will finish top four, I don't know, because the competition's tight up there. But if United, you never know, they could pull off a top four.
David Moyes is reminding me of what he was at Everton, just more confident. And I think
and better players, I think. I think he's got better players at his disposal now than... Although he had some...
Imagine they had Fellaini. Could you imagine he had Fellaini at West Ham?
Why hasn't he bought Fellaini yet? Fellaini actually retired.
No, Suchek is his Fellaini, guys.
Yeah, maybe.
Suchek is his Fellaini.
Better with the ball on his feet.
Do you think at practice, Moyes makes him wear a wig? Like a big...
He probably does.
I think Moyes walks around with that during training. I think that's
pulls it out when he's feeling a bit nervous.
Well, look, it was like Halloween. What do you think he went to Halloween party as, Fellaini?
And then Fellaini went as Moyes.
an update on Chelsea's Champions League game. Chelsea's currently drawing 0-0 with Malmo from Sweden. So 0-0 at halftime.
Nick makes a good point.
Nick,
but bear in mind, we're talking here about future Premier League winners in Newcastle. So,
yeah. All right, just also, I know it's Champions League time, and we got to get going. But we didn't really. And Pums, I'm so sorry, dude. But for some reason, whenever Moss is not on the show, so again, please steer any anger towards him, because whenever he's not here, we actually don't touch on Chelsea, and they're the side leading the log at the moment. So I don't know if anyone wants to comment on the Chelsea-Newcastle results. Maybe it's because we all thought it was a formality.
I think Chelsea have gotten boring. Is it just me? Now that they're all sensible and they do the job. You know, Chelsea, they were fun. I mean, they were a bit crazy and like Diego Costa Chelsea. You know, like they might win a game. They might set fire to the stadium and start a revolt. You just didn't know. And now it's all like, oh, they're going to win. Meh. Like, I can't feel anything.
It's boring. It's boring. You know what I mean? You watch their games and you're like, This is so predictable. They're just going to pass the ball from the left to the right, and then they're going to pass left to right.
Overlap
the fullbacks and overcrowd, and then Reece James now is the one benefiting, you know, and he scored some well-taken goals.
Fantasy league punt, by the way.
Yeah.
Bring him into your team.
Boys player. He's got some skills. But there's it just feels so... Like even Tuchel doesn't look. He's not the kind of manager who gets all that. It's just
no, he doesn't. But he's very he's precise, man. He knows what he's doing. He's well spoken. Yeah. He's calculated.
Like you just know in his little notebook, he's writing in full sentences. You know.
Yeah.
It's not bullet points. It's and then he beats that half time.
Not even post match. He already knows what he's going to say to the whatever question.
Correcting his own spelling and stuff.
That's exactly the type of guy he is. Yeah. But you know, credit to Morsa, by the way, because Morsa last season was saying. And obviously, this just shows the man that's playing, seeing a player week in, week out, seeing Reece James going, this guy is on par, if not better. I actually think his words were, he's better than Trent. And look at the return.
Current form, and also what I'm going to say about Trent is,
I've always criticized Trent for this defensively. The man's not great. He's like an 8-9 going forward, but he's like a 4 in the defensive department. And I think maybe that's where Reece possibly.
Better defensively. He's better defensively, definitely. I think he's got a bit of I can't remember, there was a game where he even played right center back, you know. So I think that in itself shows he's a bit more, you know, defensively sound than Trent. You know, I think yes, Trent has a great delivery on him.
We don't speak about Arsenal, and the man just puts himself on mute. Look at him.
No, I missed you guys here. I'm just going to discuss when you guys are speaking here.
Bro, he hates us talking about other London teams, especially, guys. He's been
Chelsea makes him remember that although he's happy, they're still they still might finish fourth. Chelsea on top of the league, boring us all to death with their precision. You know, Arsenal's trust process has got maybe challenging.
Maybe
top
fourth.
Four.
Maybe
challenging. And then just to lose out to West Ham at the end.
All right, gentlemen, let's final thoughts. Let's wrap the show up. What do you guys have for us? For the people listening.
Oh, man, I'm interested to see my team. Obviously, now that the clock has been turned an hour back, means I'm going to be sleeping at midnight watching Champions League games, which is going to be fun. But yeah, let's see what happens in the Champions League tonight for my team, and looking forward to some good matches in the Champions League. You know,
I'm keen to see how Conte does. I think it's he took charge today. Apparently he did spend some time with the players. And
well,
obviously first game.
My manager of your team, you don't play well, I kill you.
So I saw an instance. So you know, obviously Conte has recovered his hairline.
Yes, he has. Yes.
I've seen a lot of theories about how Spurs could undo that. You know, and we could be the club driving bald again. So you know, I'm sort of keen to see how that plays out. I think there could be some interesting timeline of photographic evidence of that. So let's see how that goes.
Wonga.
Yeah, I don't know who said this. I tried to look here, but I think it was Akio when he said if Man City lose the derby and Arsenal beat Watford, and then I can't remember there was another match there, but he said they will all end up on the same points. Man United, Arsenal, and Man City will end up on the same.
A lot of ifs there, mate.
Arsenal
will beat Watford.
Every Thursday pre-match Muti, the man's been saying Liverpool must drop points, Man City must drop, everyone above Arsenal must drop points, and I don't know what you're doing, Wonga, but it seems to be working. So these ifs, you're throwing bones.
Look, Arsenal will beat Watford. I just don't know if Man City will beat if Man United will beat Man City. But yeah,
depends. If Man United lose tonight, they'll beat City. That's the.
Hey, Arsenal for fifth place. That's what you're going for next. We've come to six. I told you guys, we can't be climbing. Tottenham's gone. I don't know where they are anymore. We're coming now. Next, Man United down. Coming.
Look, mate,
coming.
We'll see how the end goes.
Their bet's still running. No? If Spurs beat Arsenal, Wonga's got to bleach his hair.
Is that
does it carry on? Because we did play. Is it a continuous thing?
Full season. You said full season.
Now you see Kaka come in and now you're changing things. Where's Nuno? Where's Nuno?
Yeah. No, it wasn't just Nuno. You said Spurs this season. We had nothing to do with managers coming in, coming and going.
Okay.
It's true. You didn't really specify your T's and C's, Wonga. I don't remember reading a contract, let alone signing one.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds like he's a bit scared now. You're not as confident when we throw content in the mix, huh?
Yeah, he's a bit like...
Could change. Things are going to change come January. We're not going to be buying and spending. They're going to be buying and spending. They haven't put out a single bid. Right, we'll see.
But you guys spent 130 million. What could you need to spend in January?
Yeah, you spent so much, eh?
Yeah.
Exactly my point. We're not going to be buying anything. That's what I said.
But you shouldn't need to. Spend 130 million in the summer and then go, oh, but we're going to spend in January. That's why we...
That's what I'm saying. We're not going to be buying anything. What we have is what we have. But you guys...
5 minutes ago, that was good enough for top four. Now, because your hair's on the line...
beating Tottenham. Beating Tottenham.
Grass to get straws, but he's feeling the pain. He's feeling the heat.
On that note, it's about that time. So, if you don't know what to
be cool.
Oh, wait, cool. I forgot all the other stuff. That was very good, Silo. You're going to do it again, so it means you're going to do it better. Everybody else, if you haven't joined our Discord channel, please feel free to do that. If you haven't liked, subscribed, do the right thing. Just do the right thing. And also, tell a friend. I said we got 240 subscribers on YouTube. We've got more followers other places. But get more people involved here, man, so we can grow the conversation. Am I right, Silo? You normally do this better than I do.
Yeah, no, definitely. I do a great pitch when I'm out and about having a drink. That's when I just...
Well, you don't recruit
actual...
You didn't
do it this weekend.
Yeah, you're just... Yeah, it's not this weekend.
I know, this weekend my focus was on other things.
All right, gentlemen. If you don't know what to be, fun thanks, Sam. Next week.
Be cool. No, thanks a lot, everyone. Cheers, guys.